Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, it's John Williams. We're keeping you posted today on WGN Radio. Also at 9:35, we're going to do once again a wildly popular segment we did yesterday where I tell 10 jokes in about 35 seconds, about 3.5 seconds per joke. It's not going to take a long time, but I think you're really going to enjoy it. And you're going to say, thank you, John. That was helpful. And how often can you say that? Thank you, John. That was helpful. This is the greatest. Well, how many of us have lived through a pandemic before? That's the sort of word, that's the sort of phrasing that you attribute to centuries gone by, but they are using that word. It's also, I think, a case of mass inconvenience as well. You don't know anybody with the coronavirus. I don't know anybody with the coronavirus. I know of the coronavirus, but everybody is affected by the coronavirus, by this mass inconvenience. Poor Bob Surratt spent most of his waking hours now at grocery stores trying to acquire goods and services. My son was in line at Mariano's. They were there so long, they stopped and had wine. Of course, that's the way people shop at Mariano's anyway, but this time it was almost a necessity. Brenda could not get a cart at the Jewel, and that was after she finally found a parking space. So I was sitting there in front of the TV last night doing what most Americans do, click, click, click. But I always hit the letter C on my little button, on my little remote control, because that pulls up all of the sports. Just to see if maybe somebody was sneaking in a game for me.
No.
You know, some amateur league in Australia was going to play cricket. Anything. I was there for anything. And I kept hitting C the same way you constantly open the refrigerator door when you know there's nothing in there. And you go, well, maybe some meatloaf has erupted while I was gone. You ever do that? You're hungry and you just keep going to the same cupboard?
Some what?
Meatloaf. Some meatloaf's erupted. You know, you go, there's nothing in there. You close the refrigerator door, and then you think, I'm still hungry. I'm going to look in there and just see if I didn't miss something. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a meatloaf in there I didn't see. You never do that? You never go to the refrigerator? You know you got nothing. You open up the refrigerator door. There's still nothing, but you keep doing it, thinking, I wonder if some food's evolved while I was gone.
Someone delivered from the wall behind the refrigerator?
Exactly. So I'm hitting C every now and then, going, maybe there's a girls' softball game in Sweden, a midnight classic. I don't know. Something. Give me something.
A text is poured in. Can a person be a carrier of the virus and not get sick? Literally, not have a clue, but be carrying it to other people. Which leads to another question from a friend of mine who was planning on going to see a group of people, family, a gathering, and she's fine and they're fine, but what if she's carrying it unwittingly? Should she not go to a place where there are senior citizens gathering who might be most vulnerable? I don't know the answer to either of those questions. John, is it safe to buy apples, bananas, tomatoes in the grocery store, things that have been touched by other people? Don't know the answer to that either. That sounds like an overreaction to you. I think this is new territory for all of us. Dr. Kevin Most is the guy with the most answers. And once again, he'll join us at 9:48. Where will you be at 9:48? That's in about 30 minutes. He'll answer some of these questions for you. And if you've got some, feel free to text them in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The mind goes so many places at a time like this. You know who else I was thinking about yesterday? Michael Kopech. Two seasons ago, he threw a handful of pitches for the White Sox, and then his arm fell off. Misses a whole season getting Tommy John surgery. Comes back, and the great news out of spring training a few days ago was his first four pitches were 101, 100, 101, and 100.
Right.
And you thought, he's back! This is so exciting for Chicago baseball! Can you imagine how happy his dad is, and he is, and his family is, that finally, after a year and a half hiatus, the arm is still working, the team looks good, he's back, and then, boom, the season shuts down.
Well, he probably was not going to open the season with the White Sox anyway.
Seriously?
Going to be very careful with it. Yeah, yeah.
Started him first day. 100 pitches. Boom, let's go.
Yeah, 100 pitches. No, they're going to take it very easy with him. And so this, you know, in a weird way, this for him might just sort of kind of work to his advantage in terms of getting him back when the team. I'm not saying he'll be there when they break camp, because we don't know when that's going to be.
break camp, meaning when they're going to go back
Well, I mean, I'm assuming they'll go back to
they got to go back and warm. They got to do another spring training.
They got to do at least a couple of weeks, I would think, out there.
And MLB has not said what they're going to do with the missed 2 weeks. They've got contingencies, but it's possible the season will be less than 162 games.
It is very possible. If I had to guess, John, I would say that that's most likely that it would. But I don't know. I mean, they're coming up with different plans. You're talking about the NBA possibly playing their finals in July. The Stanley Cup final will probably be late. So I think we're going to be on sort of a weird sports calendar the rest of this year.
When were the White Sox going to open? March 26th?
March 26th, 13 March 26th. Days from today.
Here in Chicago.
Here. Yes.
Which, by the way, everybody knows is too soon. I mean, when I told some friends, hey, baseball season is going to postpone for 2 weeks, they went, well, they should anyway. But you can only put so many potatoes in the bag. If you shorten the season on the front end and you still want to get in the games in, then you're playing in November for sure, and you don't want to do that either. And they got to get in 162 games, and there's only so many days. So what do you do about that? Well, you could say you could shorten the season, but then the players and the owners make less money. For that matter, the vendors do too. So everybody sort of has a vested interest in the season being as long as it does. Even the hourly employees, if you cut 2 weeks of work from them, it doesn't do them any favors either. So the only real inconvenience is for the fans who don't like sitting in cold ballparks. But if they shorten it by 2 weeks, which makes sense, if it was always that way, I think some of us would say that makes sense. But it will cost people money.
But here's the other part of that, though. Hasn't Governor Pritzker announced they not play any home games, or at least home games with fans, till May 1st. So now you're talking not just an additional 2 weeks, but now you're looking, that's no 6 weeks from now.
Beer vendors, turnstile takers, all of that.
Right. And it, obviously, if you don't have fans, you're not going to have beer vendors. They're not going to just walk around an empty stadium.
Maybe they could come by my house, knock on the door. Cold beer.
You give them some business.
Cold beer. And I said, no, I'll come back in 10 minutes. Cold beer. I go, Brenda, he's here again. Cold beer.
Just have him come in.
Then I hand a 20 to my neighbor, who then hands it to my neighbor, who then hands it to him.
That's right.
Tell him to keep the change.
Yeah.
Oh, we're good. Thank you, sir.
They hear something at your door. It's a bag of peanuts.
Peanuts!
Hitting your door.
Hey, Brendan, it's the peanut guy. Peanuts! Museum of Science and Industry, a gathering place for many thousands, is open. The Art Institute is open. The Field Museum is open. Regular hours. They say they're taking extra precautions to make sure that everything is clean. Where they do have classes or programs, they are canceling those. But if you're saying, well, what am I going to do? I can't go to the shows. Some school events are canceled. All sporting events are canceled. If you do want to get out and do something, my guess is the crowds won't be great at some of these venues. So maybe it's a time to, if you're just looking to do something in the city, and there you are in the city, you didn't go on your spring trip now, did you? And go to the Museum of Science and Industry, the Field Museum, just don't touch everything.
Shed Aquarium?
I didn't check specifically the shed, but my guess is if some of them on the museum campus are open, those will be as well. We're kind of just clicking around all of these spots, guessing what would be a good place to know about.
We are closed to the public through March 29th.
Shed, March 29th. Today is the 13th, so you got a couple weeks then for them. Check the websites before you go. But as of this morning, MSI said they were open, and the Art Institute said they were open. And maybe that's something to do. At least the weather's going to be... Steve, were you saying the forecast for the weekend is good enough to go for a walk or something?
Yeah, I think you could probably do that. It is going to be cloudy tomorrow, and with the chance of snow south of the city. A little bit better on Sunday. We'll have sunshine on Sunday, but that's not too bad. It could be raining and very wet and very cold, so not so bad. And then we'll be back up maybe near 50 on Monday or Tuesday.
I'm glad Rudy Gobert posted an apology to the planet. Never before has one person had a bigger, because I'll bet a lot of this was going to happen eventually. But don't you think that the shockwave that the NBA cancellation of the season created was created by Rudy Gobert? And then once the NBA did that, then the Big Ten said, oh, maybe we should do that too. And then the NHL said we should do that too. And the next thing you know, people are standing in line at Mariano's and they can't get through the checkers because suddenly there is this panic. And I think a lot of that was probably going to happen, probably in its own time, maybe not so precipitously. But the idea that an official ran onto the floor, said, stop the game, somebody's got the disease, was just the stuff of a Hollywood movie.
It really was.
And it was because he walked up and down the press row there at that press conference and touched everybody's microphone playfully but intentionally to minimize what he thought was too much of a scare. That was on Monday. Wednesday night, he's got a fever in a hotel room and the game gets canceled. And then the NBA said, well, if he was contagious, who have they played in the last 2 weeks? Well, that's about six teams in major American cities. Who did those people touch? All of a sudden you go, wait, we can't have a season now. Rudy Gobert. And again, it's probably not fair to blame the inconvenience the planet is going through on one person. But if there is a Typhoid Mary, it's Rudy Gobert on this one. And by the way, he feels terrible about it.
Yes, he made that clear. He feels terrible about that news conference when he went around and touched everyone's microphones, yeah. Kind of made light of the whole thing.
Yes, he did.
But he said at that time he did not know he was infected.
A text is poured in. It says, hey, John Williams, let's play the you know it's a pandemic win game. I'll go first. You know it's a pandemic when they're out of coffee creamer. I've seen pictures of the tissue paper, the water, the sanitizer aisles completely empty. But when we've all started to just buy the last coffee creamer, you know we're in a full-scale panic. I have some other jokes, though, Dave. Would you like to hear them?
I would love that, John.
My wife was in labor, and she was shouting, couldn't, wouldn't, can't. I'm like, Doc, what's going on? He says, don't worry. Those are just contractions. You know where they make average stuff, Dave?
Where's that?
Satisfactory. Tanker of red paint collided with a tanker of blue paint. This is my all-time favorite joke. Tanker of red paint collided with a tanker of blue paint. Both crews are believed to be marooned. Proton says to an electron, hey, why are you so negative? Tin Man got run over by a steamroller. You know what he said? Curses, foil again. Because he said, Tin Man, Dave.
Right, right.
Steamroller. Yeah. You know why cans of beans only have 239 beans in them, Dave?
Why is that?
If they had one more, they'd be 240.
Oh, boy.
We're almost done. And by the way, the best one is coming up.
You know what you need?
No, I don't. I think I'm doing fine. What's the matter?
A laugh track?
I don't think I need a laugh track. That's why you're here, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Just feel free to chime in anytime.
We could do this, Dave.
You could. You could.
Let's be a live laugh track.
Dave, there's a new breed of magic dog. You know what they call it?
What do they call it, John?
A labracadabrador.
That's pretty good.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to say labracadabrador, and you guys laugh. Let's see if we can do this right. A labracadabrador. And the music, please. What's a pirate say a year after his 79th birthday?
What does he say?
Aye, matey. Okay, I saved the best one for...
That took me a second, actually. I'm sorry.
I think Jen was actually working against the flow. That didn't sound like a laugh. That sounded like an anti-laugh.
I'm just laughing.
Yeah, you're not. Okay, here we go. Doctor says I've got bad news for you. You've only got 10 to live. The guy says, 10 what? Years? Days? Doctor goes, 9. Okay, now that's good. Come on.
That was good.
I do have one knock-knock joke I haven't read yet.
Okay. I love knock-knock jokes.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
There, John.
Control freak.
Control freak?
Okay, now you say control freak who?
Control freak who?
That's the end of the joke. Producer Elif?
Control freak.
Control freak who? And then I immediately cut in. I go, well, no, it's a control freak who, because I was a control freak.
Yeah.
So that's a joke that we told here on WGN.
Those are great, John.
Thank you, Dave. Well, it's 9:44. Where did the time go?
We want to go to the mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, who's gathered this morning with business leaders in Chicago at City Hall to announce some economic help to local restaurants. Let's listen in.
Founder Matt Maloney and his entire Grubhub team for this big announcement today. And I'd just like to introduce Mayor Lightfoot, who's going to be making this announcement.
We're going to start with Matt.
Okay. Go ahead. Thank you, Samir, and thank you, Mayor Lightfoot, for everything you're doing to help keep Chicagoans safe, and also for the leadership during this challenging time. Actually, the mayor's office, as well as the offices of five other major cities, Boston, Atlanta, New York City, San Francisco, Seattle, and Portland, had a phone call. They just said, or they were asking, what can we do to help small businesses, specifically restaurants, in this time of crisis? Because, as we all know, people are not spending as much money, and so the cash flow situation is going to be dire. And so they came to us and they said, what can we do together? And so this announcement is really an outcome of that and the leadership and the coordination that your teams all showed, which is outstanding.
Grubhub is obviously making an announcement with the mayor there, and I presume it'll be about the delivery of food from restaurants and businesses.
A few notable.
So we will continue to monitor that in the WGN Radio newsroom and ask them to pass that along. We have this opportunity at the same time to get some questions answered for Dr. Kevin Most. So, Doctor, are you still there, and can you answer a few questions for us?
Absolutely, John. I'm here.
Yep. Welcome and good morning. Thanks for giving us some of your time today.
You got it.
If you don't mind, I'll just read some of the questions that our listeners have texted in. John, I've been summoned for jury duty starting Monday. I'm 69, no underlying health issues. Should I request a deferment?
That's a great question. You know, why not request a deferment? You're going to be put into a large room of a jury pool, exactly what we're trying to keep people away from, are large gatherings. You're at an age that would be considered somewhat vulnerable. So I certainly would ask for that, and I would expect that they would accept that.
Doctor, John, please ask the doctor if it is safe to eat at restaurants. Can food be contaminated with the virus?
Food would be very difficult to be contaminated. You would have to have your server cough on it and then hand it to you. I wouldn't be overly concerned there. I'd be more concerned probably with the large gatherings. So depending if you're at a large restaurant or a busy restaurant where social distancing is not possible, you know, a lot of recommendations are being made now to still support the restaurants and order carryout if you're concerned completely. But for the most part, if you're at a restaurant where you can stay social distance away from people, then it shouldn't be concerning at all.
I was just thinking about that. I called the folks I know over at Let Us Entertain You, a chain of popular restaurants in the city. Said, are you guys open? They said, yes. They said, in Seattle, restaurant business is off 60-70%. I guess if you're imagining the dining room where you're going to go and it's large and open enough, then it's not unsafe to eat there. Is that your recommendation?
Correct. You know, it's just like you would be at any other place, whether you're at a retail store or at a library or at a grocery store. So absolutely, you can social distance to a point where you shouldn't be concerned.
John, could you ask the doctor most about the rate of infection? If I'm exposed, does that automatically mean I'm quote-unquote infected, that I'll catch the virus?
No. So just because you're exposed does not mean that you're going to catch the virus. You know, the virus is either going to be able to settle into your body and cause infection. The big thing that we're probably looking at is many people have been exposed and have either mild or no symptoms whatsoever, and yet they still have the virus and maybe potentially still can shed the virus.
Right.
The chances of really bad symptoms are very low. So just because you're exposed does not mean you're going to get sick. We have a lot of rule outs that have ended up being ruled out after they've been exposed.
I know this will sound redundant, but humor me. Can a person be a carrier of the virus and not get sick?
Well, essentially, you are a carrier if you think about it. The first couple of days where you have the virus and you're actually able to share it with people, you're asymptomatic, so you are a carrier. Whether you go on to have symptoms or not really depends on your immune system as well as the viral load that you were exposed to.
Is it safe to buy products such as apples, bananas, tomatoes at the grocery store, things that have been touched?
Absolutely. You know, that point of it, you know, you should do exactly what you would do, whether you bought them in June or whether you bought them a year ago. You know, washing all fruits and vegetables that we get, it's very important. We have more chemicals on them that we should be concerned about than the COVID virus.
Thinking about going, says my friend, to a family reunion. There'll be senior citizens there. Should I go?
Yeah, that's one where I would strongly recommend everyone reconsider that and potentially reschedule it. Family reunions are often going to have multi-generational individuals there, and you would hate to expose a vulnerable person, whether it be your grandmother, great-grandmother, to something that they really may not be able to handle well. So I would be really hesitant in any multi-generational gatherings right now of large people where you want a handshake and you want to give them a hug and you want to give them a kiss. Those are the things that we're trying to keep people away from doing.
Jackie had a reverse sort of question to that. Hey, Jackie, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Thanks, John. Hi, Dr. Mose. You know, my brother just came back from a cruise, was down near Belize, came back Sunday. Saturday, again, you just sort of answered the question, 25 of the extended family, we get together at an annual gathering at the grandparents. They're in their 80s. Then we have great-grandkids that are young. How safe is it for us to be there? And the brother that came from the cruise, him and his family plan to be there, and some of the other family members aren't too hip on going.
Yeah, you know, the cruise, if the cruise had any identified people, obviously we would know about it. Like, the bad thing is people could have been on the cruise and not been identified is the thing. I'm really a big one right now for what I'm calling reverse isolation. In other words, let's take the vulnerable population, the individuals that we are concerned about, and quarantine them. So, you know, take the 80-year-old, take the individual on chemotherapy, take the person with arthritis who's taking immune suppressive drugs, and isolate them. That's the community that we're concerned about, that this illness is going to impact the highest. The healthy, the young, we know that 80% of them, and it's probably even much higher than that, are going to have mild symptoms, much even less lower than influenza. So let's protect the individuals that we're concerned about, and let's make sure we're doing everything in our own health to make sure that our immune systems are as strong as possible.
Good luck to you, Jackie. Thanks for that question. Doctor, a lot of people are asking about personal services, manicure, pedicure, haircut, dentist, facial, a lot of tactile stuff going on there, and very mixed communities. So what do you say about those sorts of things?
Yeah, that one, John, you know, the individuals that do that, you know, they wash their hands. They are doing it. It's like, almost like going to a doctor's office, to be honest with you, some of these, where you do have tactile stimulation, you have tactile interactions here. But those individuals, as long as they're washing their hands, and the social distancing we're talking about is in large groups, you know, a one-on-one individual. If the person has any cold or cough, I'm certainly hoping that they're not showing up to go to do manicures or nails or whatever they're going to do, massages, they should be staying at home, even though they may need that income, because you don't want to expose those individuals or even make them think that they may have been potentially exposed to something.
You know, when they say, don't go to the game, the game's been canceled, and then they show a picture or video of the staff that are wiping everything down. And I thought, okay, we're all afraid to go into that building and pick up the virus, and yet we're putting hourly employees and giving them a sponge and some squirt and just saying, okay, now you wipe everything down. God bless those people. I don't know if they're in quote-unquote harm's way, but we're asking a lot of people to do work that all of us are afraid of being near.
Yeah. You know, in these large gatherings that have been canceled, a lot of people are obviously disappointed. But if you think about it, the reason that we're doing it is the exact things that can happen there are the things that we're asking everyone in the world to stop doing. Social distancing. You can't do that at a Hawks game or a Bulls game. You know, clean environment. Very difficult to keep that environment clean except in between to what you're seeing right now where they're cleaning these. Wash your hands for 30 seconds. No one's going to wash their hands for 30 seconds at any of these events. Cheering, yelling, high-fiving each other. So all of the things that we're asking people to do is why we're not doing these sporting events, mm-hmm. which people are disappointed about, but hopefully this will lower that curve and calm that curve.
I was at a Bulls game. There was no high-fiving. One last question. Becky, you're on WGN. What was your question for Dr. Kevin Most?
Hi, Doctor. Unfortunately, I didn't pay too much attention in my biology class in high school, so I don't know how a virus behaves. And I was wondering if it's possible that this virus, as it moves across the world, will will lose its strength. Is there a chance it'll be weakened?
Absolutely, Becky. That's one of the big hopes, is two things. One is, as we see seasonally, we see influenza numbers drop dramatically in the summer. There still is a little bit of influenza, but the virus doesn't do as well in warm temperatures as it does in cold temperatures. The other thing we were hoping for as well is, if you remember the infection of SARS, that came out about 12 years ago or 10 years ago. That lasted 6 months and then went away. We haven't had a case of SARS. SARS is actually a cousin of COVID. Will it occur the same way? We're not sure. But your other question, as far as what happens, you get exposed to the virus, it gets into our respiratory system, and it just multiplies. The body's immune system tries to fight it off. We're not as good at fighting off some as we are others, and that's why influenza lasts 10 days, and the common cold can last a couple days.
What a resource Dr. Kevin Most is. Thank you, Doctor. We'll let you go and appreciate your time, sir.
You got it, John. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
I hope so. I don't like the circumstances necessarily in this case, but what a resource the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine is to all of us. Steve, I mentioned this before the news. I was dialing around last night. Couldn't find any sports. Kept clicking back on the sports channels. In fact, on my remote control, if I hit the button C, it has a scroll of all of the leagues and all of the kinds of sports. It's a great resource. And you just go there and everything splays out for you and you pick the games you want to watch. I spend a lot of time hitting C on the remote control when Daisy, the dizzy, dappled dachshund, doesn't have it. And I was hitting that last night and just there was nothing. There was nothing.
It's a discouraging time because this is really one of the, I mean, my favorite sports times of the year. March Madness, opening day, all of that.
Remember how Kathy and Judy used to do Speak Your Piece? Bill Murdoch, our chief engineer, came up to me today and he said, you know, you ought to do something like that where we know it's a pandemic and we know it's serious, but doggone it, some of these inconveniences are really starting to bug me. He said, they don't hand out free food samples at Costco now. I know that's not the end of the world, but I really miss that.
It's a disruption unlike any other.
That was the... That's so well put. I feel for the people that were training for the marathon. I'll tell you what, if you're training for the Boston Marathon, that's what you've been doing for the last year. And then they said, we can't run the Boston Marathon. You know, 40,000 people bumping into each other with sweat. I get it. So I guess you got to postpone it until September, right? And I don't know, if you'd ever run a marathon, you probably know a little bit about this, but it's not like you just say, oh, okay, I'll pick up the basketball in September. You've been kind of ramping up for a year to peak to run 26 miles, and now you shut her all down. And then you got to go through that whole process again if you can and will go in September. Hey, John, why are all the idiots at Juul buying up everything? What a bunch of idiots, says 630. That's what I'm talking about. People just getting annoyed now. I like the tone of Mary Schmeek's column in the Chicago Tribune today, though. Mary Schmeek, of course, would be thoughtful and pacifying and insightful. Be generous, breathe, laugh. 10 tips for staying sane during the COVID-19 crisis, she said. Number one, be generous. Hey, props to Kevin. Kevin Love, the NBA player who donated $100,000 of his own money to the workers at the stadiums that aren't going to get played because the NBA season's been canceled. That's a guy who's making $11 zillion, has for a long time. He's a great player, and he's got $100,000. And he just said all those people that don't, that are working the games, cleaning the seats, tearing the tickets, selling the beer, they're out. $100,000 out of his own pocket. If every player in the NBA did that, that would be the insurance policy those people don't have. Props to you, Kevin. Number two, Mary Schmeek said, look for the light. Number three, literally look for light. Sit by a window if you're self-isolating. Number three, don't wallow in the news. Number four, be careful where you get your information. Double check before you share. That's life advice for all of us, isn't it? Number five, when you find yourself really mad at someone you care about, ask yourself, is this just coronavirus anxiety talking? Number six, breathe. Schmeek is into yoga, you know. It helps, she says. Exercise, meditate, do yoga, take a walk. Number seven, don't isolate, even if you are in self-isolation. If you're working from home or staying inside because you're sick, stay connected through your phone, your computer. Number eight, repeat this word, perspective. Number nine, she said, was to laugh. Hey, Aleph, do you have that song? So Mary Schmeek, you know, rewrote Bob Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind. And she notes WGN radio anchor John Williams. She later texted me and said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you an anchor. You're a host, but whatever. WGN radio anchor John Williams recruited a singer named Springbow to record Bob Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind.
Can I jump in one more time, John?
Sure, by all means.
The mayor's talking here about the schools and the future there.
Talking about guidance. Is it everything that we've done
and everything that we will do on our citywide coronavirus response is really grounded in the data and monitored on an hourly basis by our public health officials. And as I said, I'll let Dr. Arati talk in more specifics, but I want to give you a couple top-line things. Obviously, we are, of course, taking every aspect of this very seriously, and particularly the question of whether or not our schools should or should not remain open is something that we have frequent conversations about all day long. We start the day with that question, among others, and we continue to assess things with our partners at CPS on a regular basis, and we will continue to do that. As you also can appreciate, and those of you who are around during the teacher strike in the fall, closing schools has a significant secondary effect. We have our parents are diverse in who they are, what their employment is, and when we close schools, that means in a lot of instances, parents have to stay home. And that could mean that we're taking nurses out of hospitals, doctors out of hospitals. We also know that many of our parents are hourly workers, and they would have to stay home because of the cost and or availability of childcare. And so for that population who is dependent upon paycheck to paycheck to make sure that they can meet their needs of their family, closing schools has a lot of cascading consequences. The other thing that I want to highlight is that many of our children in CPS rely upon the schools to eat every day. 70% of CPS school community is low-income families. They get at least two, and in some instances, three meals a day at schools. So what we have been doing from the start of this is calibrating and balancing a lot of different data, a lot of different considerations. I want parents out there to understand that we understand this, we take it very seriously, and that if we get to a point where we feel like it's prudent to close schools, we're going to do that in a way that mitigates and minimizes the burden that we will invariably be placing on individual households. So that's where we are. We're aware that schools across the country are closing. Archdiocese today announced that it's closing its schools in Cook and Lake County for, I think, the foreseeable future. We're aware of that. We're in close consultation with folks at the Archdiocese. I had a conversation this morning with a cardinal as well. But we have to make the decisions based on what the data tells us. And what's in the best interest of the health and well-being of our children. That is continually what we will do, is making sure when it comes to schools that we're putting the health and well-being of our children first. Dr. Arati will go into some more detail about that, and then we'll be happy to take your questions.
So there's the mayor talking about that. And, you know, and it's a very real concern, the fact that the safety and well-being of kids, for many of them, depends on being in those school buildings. That's something she's balancing. She also announced something there that the Archdiocese has not yet. Ryan Burrow learned just a few minutes ago that they will be closing all of their schools effective on Monday until further notice.
Say that last part again,
Catholic
Steve.
Schools are closing beginning on Monday.
Catholic, not the public. Okay. Yeah, you know, I was literally, you know, I was thinking about that, Steve. They're, you know, we're all saying keep social distance. The sporting events are closed, so all mass gatherings are down. Schools are mass gatherings. But at some point you just say, okay, but can we do that? NBA games are conveniences, it's entertainment, some people's employment notwithstanding, but schools, with all of the trickle-down, are just so much more essential, so much more ingrained into people's lives. I was thinking that when I was on my train this morning, Steve. You mentioned yesterday how difficult it would be for them to close the CTA. They haven't. People are starting to ride the CTA less, though, for a variety of reasons, I suppose. But there were fewer people on my train this morning. That's for sure. It was noticeable. It was noticeable. Boy, I hope they don't do that. They have not said that they will. They, yesterday, the CTA went to some length to remind us how thoroughly they are cleaning, disinfecting, sanitizing the trains and the stations as best as can be done. Larry had a question, too. And I got to tell you, Larry, I think I do not know the answer to this. You're on WGN. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank God. Yeah, how's everything by you?
Good, good. Where are you, sir?
Well, I'm driving in Michigan right this minute. but I live in Chicago, West Rogers Park. I wanted to know, is there another industry or entertainment venue that has more contact person-to-person or person-to-objects than the casinos? And I haven't heard anything about the casinos doing anything.
Yeah, I don't have any either. And senior citizens, if you think about... Let's get some old people who smoke and have a lot of close contact with each other. That's casinos. I know you don't smoke in there anymore, but I'm just talking about that population, and they are still up and running, as best I know.
It's just between chips and coins and bills, it just seems like that would be very impossible to keep clean.
Yeah, I guess it's a sort of, you know, that. Maybe there's not 1,000 people in any given casino at a time, and the governor hasn't shut them down, and they don't want to lose the money. I don't know if any. You haven't been to a casino lately, have you, Larry?
No, I have not.
I mean, I wonder what it's like there. Are people, though, self-policing? Are they not going there as much now? I don't know.
Well, that's for sure.
All right, Larry, thanks for the heads up on that. Drive safely, sir.
Thank you. Be well.
Yeah, were you at a casino? 312-981-7200. Are folks not going? John, our family's been planning a trip to Disney World for more than 2 years. We're supposed to leave a week from today. I know this affects a lot of people in a lot worse ways, but I'm still feeling a little sorry for myself. That's a completely legitimate feeling. You don't have to apologize. More of us can relate to that than to the virus.
If my Disney trip got canceled, I'd be very much feeling sorry for myself.
I can't get over how ticked, how just, if I think about it, despondent I get with the loss of the March Madness. That's not your thing. Yours would maybe be a trip to Disney. But for me, the Butler and DePaul games, the Big East tournament, the Big Ten tournament, the March Madness, that was going to be a source of happiness for me for 4 solid weeks. Nothing. Nothing.
I'm worried about some of the races I have coming up, but all of my races are like less than 200 people. Typically don't see anybody for miles out in the middle of the woods, so I'm hoping that those are still fine. Nobody's going to be out in the middle of the woods.
John, I just found out I was low on toilet paper. Now I have to go buy some, but I'm going to look like one of the idiots that think they need to buy all the toilet paper.
That's the worst.
Somebody else said, "What the hell is going on with toilet paper?"
I think that your head needs to go to toilet paper first, though. Like, oh, hey, I might be home for 2 weeks. I need toilet paper.
90% of the toilet paper is produced in America. Oh, sure, the Chinese, they can make TV sets, computers, iPhones, sneakers. But we make toilet paper. We've got the market covered. There will be enough toilet paper. But if everybody buys all the toilet paper, then there won't be. Toilet paper, though, is something inexpensive that you know you will consume. You need it. And it's something that you can do and that you can't do without. There's some psychology and there's some commerce going on there. And so people are just buying it up. Austin, you're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you, Austin? You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
We're a little frustrated. We just we're supposed to have the Greater Chicago Boat Show in Schaumburg, and they literally just canceled it this morning. After we spent all day, all the man hours yesterday getting it ready and setting it up. And, yeah, so we're heading down now. They told us we have to immediately get our boats out. So another fun day of moving boats around.
Yeah, with no sales to show for it. Do you?
Exactly. That's the thing, too, is our salesmen, you know, they bank on the commissions of selling boats, and that's out the door now.
Yeah, the trickle down of this, you know, the market's going up today a little bit, up 600 to 800 points on the Dow. NASDAQ's been up a couple hundred points, the S&P 90 points. But, you know, we don't need, say, on the Dow 800 points. We need 10,000 points. It'll recover, but you're all going to have to live with the lag time on this. Are you work with a marina, do you?
Yeah, correct. We're out of southeast Wisconsin, or Lake Geneva. So we're leaving Lake Geneva right now and heading down there with our crew that we just went down there yesterday with.
Austin, I'm going to put the word out for you here. I want everybody, even though the boat show has been canceled, to remember that lakes are still there and boats on lakes are still a great thing. And while you may not want a boat, you want your friend to have a boat. Somebody's got to buy a boat. So what's the name of what's the name of your marina? I'm going to tell everybody to go there. Where do you work, Austin?
I work at Gordy's Lakefront Marine. We have a place in Lake Geneva, Fontana, Wisconsin, and also Fox Lake, Illinois.
Fox Lake, Illinois. What's the name of the marina there?
Gordy's. It's Gordy's Lakefront Marine.
Everybody go buy some boats at Gordy's Lakefront Marine. Tell them John Williams sent you. They'll take $5 off your sale.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, Austin. Stay well. Ask for that discount. Walk into Gordy's and go, hey, I'm looking at a 20,000-foot catamaran. I don't even know what boat language is, but I understand I can get it for $19,995. Williams sent me. Junior, you're on WGN. What can I do for you? You're on the air.
Oh, wow. I didn't know I was going to be on there.
You're on the air.
I called in because I'm sick and tired. I'm trying to get a hold of my representatives, state representatives and everything. I'm going to stores and seeing this robbery that's going on with disinfect, $13 a can, water, cases of water for $10, and nobody's doing nothing about it. I try to talk to the Attorney General and nothing.
This is a retail. Junior, I've seen some of this online. You're seeing this in the stores, the prices jacked up?
In the stores. I went to Aurora. I tried to buy a case of water for my caseworkers, for my worker. I do construction. And I went to his Aurora store, and I saw a case of water for $10.
And what would that what would that case normally cost you, Junior?
It cost me like maybe $4.99 or not over $5.
Double the price.
Double the price. A can of Lysol, normally I buy them for $3.99, $13 in Jewels.
Are you serious?
I mean, this is Jewels you're talking about, not a little mom and pop store.
Are you? Just make sure you're telling me the truth on that. I am surprised.
I'm telling you the guy on his truth. The guy on his truth. I walked into Jewels on Summit, Illinois, and the cans of Lysol were, if I'm not, $11.99 if I'm not mistaken. And I even asked the manager, I'm like, are you serious? This is not right.
What's he say?
He said, I don't set the prices, sir.
That's not right. That's absolutely not right.
I don't understand where these our governor, our attorney general, protecting the consumers. It's not right. I know toilet paper is off the shelves. Everything's off the shelves. But you don't have to double the price, triple the price on people.
I'm glad you pointed this out to us. If I talk to those folks, I'll bring it up, my friend.
All right, my friend. You have a great weekend.
Junior, you keep doing what you're doing. It's 10:27.
John, I know we're coming up on the news, and we'll have more later, but the president is going to speak to the nation at 2 o'clock, and there is guidance now that he will declare a national emergency to help ramp up the fight against the coronavirus.
By the way, we were talking about what about the crowds and the casinos? I mean, that's one of those venues that still does seem to be doing business. Hey, Dan, you're on the air. What did you see? What do you know? Hi.
Hi, John. Dan from West Dundee. Yeah, my family and I went to Las Vegas this past weekend to see the band Chicago.
Yeah,
that was wall-to-wall people in the casinos. We were in two or three different ones. The air flights back and forth from Chicago O'Hare to Las Vegas were no empty seats and overbooked. And, of course, the concert venue was sold out. So I didn't sense any reduction over the weekend in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I happen to travel on business almost every week. I went to Orlando, though, this past Wednesday.
Yeah.
The plane was only half full. And O'Hara looked like about 50% of its normal capacity. So there's a Vegas casino thing going on that still draws people. But clearly, as you've been mentioning, the normal travel is seeing a significant reduction.
Well, they say there's two things that fight the virus. One is alcohol and the other one is heat, and Vegas has both of those.
There you go.
So, but when you were at the venue where Chicago was playing, I presume that's a lot of people all packed together, right?
Oh, yeah. We were about 5,000 people.
Wow.
It was at the Venetian, and it was all shoulder to shoulder going in and going out and shoulder to shoulder sitting there. But I had my Clorox wipes and my family was prepared. And yes, we did wipe the remote control in the hotel room off. I mean, all the basic things that we've been learning and hearing. And I never traveled with Clorox wipes as much as I fly, but I do it now. And I wipe down the seat and the tray, and I'm doing my part, I think, to make sure I stay healthy and the people around me stay healthy. Just what we got to do.
And some people are still making money. Dan, thanks for the call.
Always here, John. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. I'm glad you're listening. I can imagine somebody coming out with these Sani wipe shoulder pads you know, just like sleeves of those wipes. And you'll just, as you're sitting on the plane or wherever, if you brush up against somebody, you'll instantly disinfect rather than infect each other. Speaking of the band Chicago, though, there's a meme out that I think is pretty funny right now. It shows a picture of a band. It's not Chicago, but it shows a picture of this band. And the meme on top says, "I'm no expert on COVID-19, but this is the cure."
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you.
What about
it's Friday? I'm in love.
WGN Radio has the cure. Martha is listening to us where, Martha? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. I'm in Oral Valley, Arizona.
Appreciate you tuning us in. Are you a marathoner?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Were you going to run in Boston?
Yep, I'd qualified again. And we just got word this morning, official word, that they postponed it until September 14th.
What was your qualifying time?
I ran a 4:01.
Oh, my.
I'm 65.
That's amazing.
It's pretty good for a 65-year-old.
It's pretty good for a 35-year-old. And so there you are, just busting your butt for the last 6 months, ramping your mileage up, eating properly. I mean, when you run a marathon, that's what you and your family do now, and then, boom, they pull it out from underneath you.
Yeah, they did. You know, it's understandable. I don't know if you know how Boston works, but everybody gathers, the runners, all 31,000 runners, gather at the Boston Commons the morning of the race, and then they bus us out to the start line. So you're on a bus, and then you're in the Athletes Village, and then you're shoulder to shoulder.
For a while. Much,
absolutely. A couple hours before the race.
Absolutely, and then literally they stage you on a street. So I ran in the 100th. Boston Marathon.
I did too.
I didn't qualify. You probably qualified. I did not. I had a guest pass. So anyway, I'm just a schlub who's just going to be happy to finish the thing. But I did eventually. But anyway, they give you a little chip in your shoe, and then they'll time you, and they stack you according to when you're going to finish. So if you're going to run it in 4 hours, you're behind the people that are going to run it in 3 hours, so you don't get in their way because they're faster. All of that to say this, they told my group, they said, okay, the gun's going to go off. This race is so packed and so big and long that you probably won't get to the start line until about a half hour after the gun goes off.
That's about right.
You're just shuffling forward, waiting as everybody advances forward. And those of us in the, 4.5 hour pack, we were getting kind of antsy waiting to get to the start line, let alone the finish.
Well, I remember one year I ran it and I was at about mile, 16. And somebody, one of the volunteers yelled out, the woman just crossed the finish line, the winner. That was a little discouraging.
Well, I'm sorry for you. Are you going to try and run in September then, Martha?
Well, I don't know. I'm waiting to see if they'll do any deferments. You know, Boston does not allow deferments, but I'm hoping that maybe they will this year. It's tough training for a marathon during the summer, no matter where you are. But here in Arizona, it's pretty rough. So if they defer, I'm happy to run it in 2021. If they don't defer, then I'll have to give it some serious thought.
Stay in touch. And if nothing else, you look great, Martha. At least you're in the shape of your life. So you got that going for you.
Well, I appreciate that, John.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks, John.
Listeners this morning from Ohio, Florida, Arizona, and Italy, all dialing in. We appreciate your thoughts, questions, and concerns. Here in Chicago, this is WGN. It's 10:39 in the morning. Steve Bertrand, if you missed it a moment ago, said the president has a press conference coming up. Is it a press conference? I follow him on Twitter and saw he just posted something. Yeah.
Probably will be more of a, I would imagine be more prepared remarks, but the expectation is he'll declare a national emergency, which is a mechanism to allow for more federal funding to states and cities. I think President Clinton did it during the West Nile virus It's been used a couple of times for health concerns.
Here's his latest tweet 43 minutes ago. I will be having a news conference today at 3 p.m. The White House, topic coronavirus, exclamation point. The president's been very busy on Twitter lately, passing along encouragement and statements like that, and also bashing President Obama and Vice President then Biden for how they handled other pandemics and epidemics. He's comparing the performance of his administration to theirs, as is his wont sometimes. But this will give him extraordinary powers. It'll streamline things for sure. It'll be interesting to see what the exercise of that looks like. Rick, you're on WGN Radio on line three. What can we do for you today, Rick?
Well, I was looking myself for other ways to entertain myself without all the NCAA basketball, and I brought out my old Scrabble board, and I rearranged the letters in coronavirus to see what they could spell, and there is another 11-letter word that starts with C and ends with S. And I'm wondering how long it would take some people who play Scrabble to find out what that 11-letter word is.
Does it use the same letters?
Yes.
And is
the same 11 letters. So starts with a C and ends with an S.
And it has the V, two O's, an R, and a, two R's, two O's, an N, a V, and an I, huh?
Exactly.
But it's not coronavirus.
Covfefes.
Can I give you a hint? It would help if you were eating a
No hints. Oh, now you just okay. Hold on. Talk to producer Elif off the air. I want to do this at home. Stay there.
Okay.
Do you know what it is, Steve?
I do not. I'm not a
Jen, are you a wordsmith over there, Jen DeSalvo, in traffic?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I was. Help if you're eating a hamburger.
I know. So pickles, onions, sesame seeds. Fortunately, that doesn't help me. I'm still playing at home.
Quarter pounder. There's no.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, I'm ready now. Go ahead and do your thing.
Covivis. You weren't ready.
Timing. Frank, you're on WGN Radio. Hello, Frank. You're on the air. We'll get you the answer in a second, but I'll let you play at home. Hey, Frank, you're on the air.
Morning, John.
Hi there.
John, I think the people that are robbing the store shelves of sanitary wipes and toilet paper are the same people that when the newscasters or the weather forecasters tell people that we're going to have 6 inches of snow, that they feel they have to stock up their homes with things that to be on lockdown for the next 30 days. I'm very surprised that in addition to the surgical masks that people are buying up, I think the next craze is going to be latex gloves. As long as you're not allergic to latex gloves, I'm really surprised that people aren't wearing those instead of having to wash your hands 12 times a day.
I've heard that some folks are having, I don't know where you buy latex gloves, Home Depot, Walgreens, I understand those are hard to get a hold of right now.
Have you ever worn them for more than a few minutes, though? Your hands sweat so badly. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, there's different ones. There's ones with powder. There's powder-free. There's latex. There's vinyl. But if this thing continues, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the next craze.
Thanks for the phone call. Good luck to you. Good luck to us. Buddy of mine, well, actually, it was our boss here at this radio station had a crumpled up wipe, and he's using that as the barrier between his thumb and the elevator button. And I found myself doing the same sort of thing. I was at the gym the other day. Wipe down your equipment afterwards. We're all kind of in the habit of that. I put it in my pocket. And then when I found it later on, I thought, oh, I'll use this as a shield against tactile surfaces that I have to touch to get in and out of the building. And then you think, well, why don't I just get some latex gloves? I've been using my leather gloves, you know, just my winter gloves, more for that purpose, too. Dan's on WGN on line two. Hey, Dan, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, John. Just wanted to give you a little report out of Peoria and a reflection on something for people to remember during this time of crisis and change. We run a food ministry called Loaves and Fish. And in Peoria, every Saturday, we feed between 250 and 350 people a hot meal, provide them with a bag of food to go home out of the pantry, have a medical clinic and other services for our neighbors in need. And we are going to have to alter that to, instead of having a hot meal, starting next week, we'll have bagged lunches and bagged food to go. But remember that a lot of people that we see and that are all throughout Chicagoland and your listeners, those are people now that maybe have kids at home that used to be getting hot lunches for those kids. So the need on the pantries is going to be tremendous in the days to come. And these are people that don't have other means to go out and get things. So I would just, I would really stress compassion to those in need, but use it as a time to, if you're home, get some items to take to your local pantry because they're going to need it.
That's such an interesting point. It just reminds me of what Mary Schmeek said in her column today that referenced us. I'm going to play that song in a minute, but I was just one of the points. The other nine were really good, and one of them was be generous. This is a time where if you can share with those in need, did you have a little bit of that feeling after 9/11? Did you have a little bit of that feeling when we were all going through crises in 2008? We're in a little bit of a version of that now, too. It's a good point to call, Dan. I appreciate you listening. Central, Northern, Southern Illinois, we're all going through the same thing. It's 10:46 on WGN. Oh, the answer to the question. I know you wanted to know what it is. Okay, so what was that word? After this. So that guy said, okay, if you take the word coronavirus, he was playing Scrabble. He spelled that out and said, what else can I find with the same letter, starting with a C and ending with an S? Daniel, what's the word? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, this is Daniel, John. Longtime listener. Love your program.
Thank you, sir.
So coronavirus Scrabble would be carnivorous.
Look at that. Look at that. And he's doing
and
that
know
while he's...
that, or I carry that word because my son, my three-year-old son, is a dinosaur nut. And so, you know, T-Rex is a carnivore, and I hear it every day, several times a day. So it was floating in my mind.
Oh, that's so funny. So tell your three-year-old that he scored big for daddy today.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks for the phone
Love
call.
Your show, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And best to your three-year-old. No prizes here on the John Williams Show. Just we play for pride, as we like to say. We got time for Mary Schmeek's song, don't we, Producer Elif? Thanks, Mary, for the shout-out in her column. She was going through things that we can all do to weather the storm, how to stay calm and carry on. And number nine on her list after breathe, don't isolate yourself, keep a perspective was laugh. It may not be the best medicine, she says, but it doesn't hurt. Then she prints the lyrics to her reworking of a Bob Dylan song. She writes, WGN's John Williams recruited a singer named Springbo to record it, and they played it on his show.
How many times can a guy wash his hands before he goes out of his mind? Yes, and how many times can he sing silly songs while scrubbing them front and behind? Yes, and how many times will he lather and rub until both his hands are like rinds? The virus, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The virus is blowing in the wind.
Not a bad team there, eh? 10:51 on WGN. My friend Gary just sent in his reworking of coronavirus to carnivorous. But you're late, Gary. Gary is a good guy. He's very good at many things, playing the guitar, but also the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle. Gary's the kind of guy that will take the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle, sit down with a cup of coffee, and do it. I take the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle. I've taken up this habit in the last year or so, and I will do it all week long. I take it to bed with me every single night, and I carry it with me on the L. And whenever I have a free minute, I've got my nose down on that thing, and it takes me all week. And I would say 1 out of 10, I get pretty much all the way finished. But I never finish them all, and certainly not without just a little bit of help. But here's what I've discovered. I don't know if you do these crossword puzzles, but the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle always has a trick to it. For instance, the theme this week was like a whole lot of shaking going on. And so there were several clues where the answer had to do with the word salt, as in salt shaker. So it would say there'd be a clue, you know, and then you would fill in the blank and the answer would be take it with a grain of salt. But because it's the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, you go, oh, I got it, grain of salt. It works perfect, except when you get to the very end, there's not enough room for salt. Grain of works with the things going up and down and across, everything else lining up. So you really need G-R-A-I-N-O-F. But then, doggone it, there's only one square left. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? This can't be wrong. And then it dawned on me, like Wednesday, that that one little square where I need the word salt, I need to put in N-A-C-L. Four letters in the one square.
So this is the programming we're looking forward to in the absence of March Madness. We're going to be talking about things like this.
And then the vertical, the letters N-A-C-L, did spell out a word coming down. So it was really interesting here on Sports 1000, where
well
we're talking about, hey, if you got questions about your crossword puzzles.
Now, can I get a side bet on that or a spot bet or whatever Paniadovich talks about? Or
I like Gary's chances. The over-under on him finishing it is 27 minutes. Let's take some calls.
He's a spicy player.
Who remembers the White Sox of 1947? Give us a call. Somebody texted in and said, what's going to happen to Dave Bennett? Well, Dave will be here. But yeah, if you were a sports radio place, if you were ESPN, if you were CBS, and your budget included $100 million for March Madness, that's all gone.
Well, seriously, what are the newscast sportscasters going to be doing? I mean, for a few days, we're going to talk about what's canceled.
Absolutely.
But then everything's going to be canceled.
Yeah, it's a challenge for Dave Bennett here. I suppose he'll take a little less time on the air, but he's part of the ensemble, say, on the Bob Surratt Show.
Oh, no, I'm keeping him. I'm not trying to get rid of him. But
no, I'm not either. But
the 10 o'clock news or whatever.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, literally on ESPN. Or if you were a sports station, you could be talking about, you know, what LeBron James said or what happened at the NBA game when the virus started to spread. And after a while, that's kind of old news. So then what do you do? Because you got to sit on this thing for a month. I imagine some of them, radio and TV, are going to play back some games. That might be one way to fill some time. You know, the Marquee Network, which...
I was just thinking of the Marquee Network, right.
That slapping sound you hear are the Ricketts family hitting their heads.
Comcast isn't looking so bad right now.
Because not only could they not get the Marquee deal done, but at least they knew that come March, the money was going to start coming in. RCN has it. Other networks have it. They don't got Comcast, but the turnstiles will be turning. The beer will be happening. And suddenly they're making money again. And now you told them, oh, guess what? Now you're not. At least for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, you're not going to be making money. Did you see that also being canceled now? The late night shows from New York are going right. to go dark next week. Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, clicking around last night, looking for sporting events, knowing they aren't there, but still looking for them. I came upon Colbert's show. He did it in front of the staff, no studio audience. It was terrible. It's amazing how funny Colbert is not when there's not a studio audience. It was so weird.
My daughter works in an office of five people, and they were given the work-at-home notification today.
Yeah, yeah.
There's five of them.
My daughter-in-law works at an office, and they said early this week that they don't have to be in the office, I think, until the end of April. March, April, yeah. They're taking like 6 weeks off work from home.
So you'll need a sociologist or something, but there are going to be some weird mental things happen to us,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think there really are.
Well, I think the psychology of hoarding and hysterical shopping is one thing, and then the connections that we're going to start missing are another. Remember, the number's 312-981-7200. Call or text. We'll do the best we can to keep you informed and maybe give voice to some of your concerns. Plus, I know Steve's very excited about this. We'll redo our joke segment. A lot of people... Actually, nobody called and said, would you run that again? But
you know what? I like that.
Lots of texts, lots of calls. Hold on a second. Put that there. I didn't mention the movie, Steve, that I was dialing around last night because I couldn't find a sporting event. I'm going to try that again this evening. I'm going to sit there like I do, zombied, and just start clicking for games, clicking for games. I'm not going to find a game, but that's what I'm going to do. Anyway, I watched American Factory, the documentary about a plant in Ohio that for General Motors used to make cars. They shuttered the plant. Times were tough. And then this Chinese company that makes glass windows for cars came in, and it was this great American-Chinese culture clash, right? That they were going to take the Chinese people, the Chinese product, they were going to put them in Ohio, they were going to work with the Americans, and they were all going to get together. And the people in Ohio were thrilled because they had jobs. They weren't making $30 an hour. Now they're making $15 an hour, $13 an hour, but they were happy to have the jobs. Chinese company doesn't want unions. The Americans felt unions would protect them. But one of the biggest culture clashes was that where the company wasn't profitable, it wasn't operating as efficiently as they'd hoped. So they took the managers of the various departments of this giant $100 million operation. I mean, think car plant size. And they're making glass windshields and glass windows for cars. Toyota, Chevrolet, Volvo, all of them. They manufacture them in Dayton, Ohio now. So they send the managers of those various departments back off to China to see how the Chinese are doing it. And where when you saw the plant in operation in Ohio running, it looked like it was running pretty smoothly. There was a learning curve. Some glass was breaking. They weren't 100% efficient. But people seemed to know what they were doing, and they seemed to care about what they were doing. Then you go to China. Holy cow. Is that a regimen? People work 12-hour days, 6 days a week. Some of them don't see their kids but a few times a year, and they are happy about it. Or if they're not happy, they don't know that. They sing songs. They salute. They do chants. They do counts. They wear uniforms. And they work. And they work so efficiently. You're like, oh, the Chinese are going to kill us. I mean, the only week, we're not going to do that. We're not going to work 12-hour days, 6 days a week, not see our kids for a fraction of the pay. We're not going to do that. So what are we going to do? Well, I guess we're just going to let the Chinese continue to manufacture stuff at a cheaper price because those people are indentured servants over there. My God. And then I thought, no, here's how we're going to beat them. If we can't work like that, then we need to get them to party like us. We need to teach them that a 40-hour work week is civil and 49 weeks of work a year is more than fair. And double the wage is better. Now you're going to pay more for your car because they're going to get more money now. But somewhere in between the two is probably where we ought to be. Those people don't need to be working that hard, and we don't need to be working that hard. They need to be playing more. That's the solution. But the guy that ran the company, he was like a Chairman Mao kind of figure to them, feared and revered. This is what this movie, American Factory, is like. It was really interesting. It's free to me on Netflix. I suppose to you, too. That's where I watched it.
So I'm under the impression, though, the way that things work over in China is because the government wants companies to fill a quota. They fill their quota, say if it is working 40 hours per week. But if people choose to work more than that, then they're able to earn a profit on top of whatever their quota was that was filled. Therefore, that's how they've been able to kind of grow and thrive in the past 30 years by having some of the wealth.
Huh. So are you saying that those employees work 40 hours, but they agree to work 70 hours?
Yeah. Like their government quota is 40 hours. This is example. I don't know exactly how much it is. Or it's, X amount of widgets that they have to make. And anything that they do above and beyond that, that's where they are able to make extra profit. And that's how, you know, they've seen this immense amount of wealth in the past few decades.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny because the people in the factory weren't rich, but the guy who ran the factory was insanely rich. And There's obviously a lot of crazy rich Asians now. China is becoming more capitalistic, but it's this blend of capitalism, but also communism. I mean, it really is a different work environment. Did you watch American Factory?
No, but I listen to a lot of in-depth podcasts about their economy.
It's interesting, isn't it? And it's fascinating.
The capitalism-communism thing has seemed to work very well for booming their economy.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's what we're up against. And I'm looking at this going, We're not going to do that. We are not going to do that. Our only hope is to get them to play more. We need to make China less efficient. And as a result, we will pay more for windshields. So your $20,000 car is now going to cost $20,000, I don't know, $250. But that's the only hope. Because you know, I was looking at these people who are living, breathing robots for the factory, and I'm thinking, that's no way to live. That's just not... I know they're willing to do it, and in a way, we're the beneficiaries of it because we get cheaper stuff. 80% of our pharmaceuticals, I saw today, come from China.
That's astounding.
I'll double-check that, but that's what I saw.
But yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that lately, that a lot of our pharmaceuticals are coming from over there. But even their coronavirus response, you know, the people of China are very familiar with having the government, you know, dictate from the top down and tell them what to do.
Yeah.
So they stayed home. They closed down Wuhan. Everybody, you know, was kind of used to it. Whereas here in America, we're like, you know, we have our liberties. We have our freedoms. We don't want the government telling us that we have to stay home.
And I like that.
Yeah. And they built some hospitals. They kind of got it under control. And from what it looks like at this point, their numbers are starting to decline. So, you know, we'll see, obviously, in the next few months if that worked, you know, by them shutting everything down. But
yeah, right.
We're kind of following suit.
Lowering the bell curve, they're calling that. It's 1123. 312-981-7200. Let's take some of your phone calls. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for texting in. Vicky wanted to say something. Hi, Vicky. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm a truck driver. And we're doing our best to restock your shelves and everything else, and we appreciate everybody going into panic mode. But
yeah.
You guys are keeping us busy, okay?
I was thinking about that. I mean, you know, if I was selling toilet paper and sanitizer and avocados, business is good for me right now, and good for maybe the truck driver that's got to deliver it, huh, Vicky?
Yes, it is. I mean, all of us are out here doing what we can.
So you do local deliveries? Local deliveries, do you, Vicky?
I do regional, but I'm mainly in the Chicago area.
What's in the back of your truck, Vicky?
I'm on my way home. The day off.
So you're going to have a pallet of underwear, or not underwear, but toilet paper fall off the back of your truck.
Oh, would I be in trouble?
You drive safely. Thank you, Vicky. I know somebody who works in the hospital supply chain industry, and they have their hands on the goods. It's like, wow, I can get face masks. I can get stuff, sanitation wipes, things like that. John, I can't believe health clubs are still open. John, my husband plays poker, and he stopped playing in the casinos and charity events, but plenty of you are saying what 773 just texted in. Casinos are like grocery stores. Everyone's touching everything, and people are there. In fact, where was the number I saw a little while ago? John, March Madness cancellation is especially painful for University of Dayton fans, the best team ever.
Yeah.
Number 3, no dance. Those of you that have been following college basketball and there's a senior or two whose game you've enjoyed watching for 4 years, you just realize, oh, wait, that's the last chance I get to see Kamar Baldwin play.
Marcus Howard.
There goes Marcus Howard's last game. He could have led Marquette who knows where. They're up and down, but he was one of the most exciting players to ever play college basketball. Boop. Season's over. John, I went to the Jewel last night in Schaumburg. This is a picture of the toilet paper aisle. It's a canyon of steel. No toilet paper there.
Can I also add other athletes, though? You know, my nephew Easton Bertrand plays for the University of Minnesota baseball.
Sure he does.
Cleats are hung up for the year.
Really? Baseball?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
John, I manage a bingo hall. Still open. We average 450 people a night, and they sit shoulder to shoulder, 2.5 feet apart from each other. Last night, we normally have 450 people. Last night, we had 483. Where do I go, Producer Elif? You just whispered in my ear. Take line 4. Is that Lou on line 4? Lou, you're on WGN. Hello.
Yes, John. Hello. Listen, this panic buying, and one of the reasons the hand sanitizers are out is the manufacturers of isopropyl alcohol, which is the basic raw material used in hand sanitizers, they declared force majeure, and the price just jumped up 25 cents a pound.
Did you hear the guy that called in and said that he's seeing price gouging at chain local grocery stores on Lysol and stuff like that? That should be against the law.
Well, it should, but we don't have any choice in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're chemical distributors, and our supplier just said, listen, the cost of IPA is now 25 cents higher, and it's on allocation. We declared force majeure.
Is that good for you? Is that helping your business, Lou?
No, it's not. We just offered to our customers a 70% isopropyl alcohol. That's good for sanitizing plants and offices, and now we can't sell anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Lou, listen, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. I appreciate everybody's thoughts and contributions here. Time for a little bit more of this after the news. We haven't done our joke segment. We will. You'll be glad you heard it. And yeah, we are doing the bright side. Our colleague, Pete McMurray, just texted in. Costco on Clybourne parking lot. Costco on Clybourne parking lot completely full. People are parking on Clybourne. The street is packed with carts and people. It reminds me he says, why are people stocking up? That's a good question. It's 11:30.
Miracle-Gro, spring is coming.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. A text is poured in. It says, hey, John Williams, let's play the you know it's a pandemic win game. I'll go first. You know it's a pandemic when they're out of coffee creamer. I've seen pictures of the tissue paper, the water, the sanitizer aisles completely empty. But when we've all started to just buy the last coffee creamer, you know we're in a full-scale panic. My wife was in labor and she was shouting, couldn't, wouldn't, can't. I'm like, Doc, what's going on? He says, don't worry. Those are just contractions. You know where they make average stuff, Dave?
Where's that?
Satisfactory. A tanker of red paint collided with a tanker of blue paint. This is my all-time favorite joke. A tanker of red paint collided with a tanker of blue paint. Both crews are believed to be marooned. Proton says to an electron, hey, why are you so negative? Tin Man got run over by a steamroller. You know what he said? Curses! Foil again! Because he said, Tin Man, Dave.
Right, right.
Steamroller. Yeah. You know why cans of beans only have 239 beans in them, Dave?
Why is that?
If they had one more, they'd be 240.
Oh, boy.
We're almost done. And by the way, the best one is coming up.
You know what you need?
No, I don't. I think I'm doing fine. What's the matter?
A laugh track?
I don't think I need a laugh track. That's why you're here, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Just feel free to chime in anytime.
We could do this, Dave.
You could. You could.
Let's be a live laugh track.
Dave, there's a new breed of magic dog. You know what they call it?
What do they call it, John?
A labracadabrador.
That's pretty good.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to say labracadabrador, and you guys laugh. Let's see if we can do this right. A labracadabrador. What's a pirate say a year after his 79th birthday?
What does he say?
Aye, matey. Okay, I saved the best one for...
That took me a second, actually. I'm sorry.
I think Jen was actually working against the flow. That didn't sound like a laugh. That sounded like an anti-laugh.
I'm just laughing.
Yeah, you're not. Okay, here we go. Doctor says I've got bad news for you. You've only got 10 to live. The guy says, 10 what? Years? Days? Doctor goes, 9. Okay, now that's good. Come on.
That was good.
11:36. Rick, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? Rick, you're on the air. Hi.
You want a long joke or a short joke?
I don't want a joke. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I know you've got a joke for me. Stay there. I want to talk to Eric first. Eric, you're on the air. How are you?
Hey, King John. Hello again. Eric out here in Rockford. You know, just before I go into what I was going to tell you, I just had that picture in my head. I can see it now. Bertrand saying, a truck with toilet paper opened up on 94 today. It'll be like one of those Brinks trucks where everybody's crashing into each other and scrambling to pick it all up off the highway.
I'm telling you.
Talk about the moral obligation to turn it in.
Yeah, really? Now, that's good. That's really good. But the reason why I was calling is earlier this week, the city of Rockford said that their St. Patrick's Day festivities were continuing, but then yesterday, the county board chairman, Winnebago County Health Department, they did report, luckily, knock on wood, we don't have any coronavirus cases in Winnebago County or in Rockford as of yet. But they were going to cancel the St. Patty's Day Parade, all St. Patrick's Day activities. And the thing that really got me is what I hear you guys saying in Chicago, no gatherings of, you know, like 2,500 people or more than 250 people. Rockford said no gatherings over 25.
Really? 25
so that,
people?
That's really cutting it, yeah. But my big question is for you, and I trust your show, because you bring on the good doctors and that give us good, accurate information, is that we got summer coming on, spring and summer. And if we don't have a, you know, a vaccine for coronavirus by then, which they're saying we probably won't, and this thing doesn't just fade away, I wonder if mosquitoes can carry this thing.
Haven't heard. I haven't heard.
Yeah, that'd be a really good question to ask a doctor, because I've never heard anybody talk about it yet. But it is a concern, because we've had mosquito-borne illnesses before.
Yeah. Wasn't the original transmission believed to be animal to human, right? I mean, it did start, mm-hmm. I think, with some sort of animals in China that somehow or another infected humans, and now we are transmitting it one to the other. If a mosquito got some of your blood, drew it, and then bit somebody else, I think that's how mosquito-borne illnesses are transmitted. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer. Eric, I'm clearly not qualified to answer that, but you've got me thinking about it.
No, I wouldn't expect you to answer that, King John, but yeah, next time you have a doctor on, it'd be cool to find out.
Yeah, I'll look into that. Thank you for the call, Eric.
Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. The sun is shining, and the vast majority of us, you are okay, and we are all taking extraordinary precautions to try and stay that way. Remember, Dr. Most yesterday said that the people that should be quarantining are the healthy people. You and I, if we are healthy, have an obligation. It is in our best interest to just try and not become vectors ourselves. That sort of makes sense. It's sort of what we are doing. It's why you can't go to the basketball games. In a way, it's not just so I won't give it to you all, but as a healthy person, I won't get it and then become a transmitter. Rudy Gobert is apologizing to the planet today. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN Radio. What was your thought? You're on the air.
Good morning, John. First-time caller, and I'm also from Rockford.
Welcome.
But you mentioned earlier about using your glove or a used wipe to touch the elevator button or something else.
Yeah.
And so that you wouldn't touch it with your bare hand.
Yeah.
If the virus was on that button, then you use that wipe or your glove and then stuck that back in your pocket, wouldn't you still be carrying it?
I guess I need to throw it away after one use then, huh?
It sounds like it, because if the virus is there, and I guess it can live for a while,
yep.
I would think then if you're doing that, you're sticking that in your pocket.
I'm rethinking that strategy, Bob, thanks to you.
Okay, enjoy your show, John.
Thanks for the phone call. By the way, Robbie said he thinks he can help us out. Robbie, you're on WGN. How are you?
King John, how are you?
Good, man. Talk to me.
No problem. Yeah, last weekend I spent drinking a bottle of Corona. Anyway, now, the coronavirus will not spread by mosquito bite. It's not a bloodborne or a vector infection. Coronavirus, there are two categories of viruses. One is known virus and unknown virus. Known viruses, we all know strain A, B, C, H1, swine, or whatever it is. Now we know that we have vaccine for them. We have trivalent and quadrivalent vaccine for them. Corona was unknown virus, and now we know it's a known virus. All these viruses which I mentioned was airborne. That means it spreads through the air. That becomes a huge pandemic. Just to tell you the truth, CDC has estimated 61,000 Americans died because of common flu in 2019 alone.
Yeah.
So,
wait a minute. So, Robbie, I don't know that I know you. You know about this? Are you a doctor or a researcher?
I am a nurse. I do go to CDC all the time.
Okay, so then you say you know about how this can be spread, say, by mosquitoes. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and Late Night with Seth Meyers are all suspending production next week. NBC, CBS said Thursday, making them the biggest daily American television shows to go off the air because of concerns surrounding the pandemic. You'd think that this would be all the more reason for them to be on the air, but I know they can't get live crowds in there. Saturday Night Live which, like The Tonight Show and Late Night tapes at 30 Rockefeller Plaza in Manhattan, is on hiatus until March 28th. Its immediate future could be in doubt as well. The earliest date that the three shows, Fallon, Colbert, and Seth Meyers, the earliest date that the three shows would return with new episodes is now March 30th. Of course, today is Friday, March 13th, the network said. So 2 weeks and 3 days, they're going to take off. And I was watching Colbert a little bit last night. I see Lauren Lapka's over in Traffic Central. I don't suppose you were watching TV. There was no hockey for you last night, Lauren.
I know. And it's funny because I am a Colbert watcher, but I knew there wasn't going to be an audience. And I've already gotten myself kind of used to not watching TV. I'm preparing that way.
No kidding. I it was so weird because he was doing, I think Colbert's usually funny and it works. It's, you know, scathing. It's very anti-Trump. That's what he does now. But if you can laugh at that, he's funny. So he was doing his shtick and it just wasn't working. Maybe it's because, you know what, this isn't funny like that. And also because the crowd wasn't there for him to play off of. The band was and the staff was. So there was a crowd of, it sounded like maybe 30, 40, 50 people that you could hear, but they weren't even laughing that hard. And every now and then he'd ask them to play along with them, and they would. But it was just very, it was like the guy was dying.
Well, they already knew the punchline. Of course it wasn't going to be as funny.
I guess so. I get, but, you know, you'd think, like, when I'm watching it on TV, I don't think I'm relying on the crowd and the audience. I'm just sitting here by myself watching a face on TV. It's him and it's me. That's all. So those invisible 200 people or 1,000 people that are in the studio audience shouldn't be impacting me, and in a way shouldn't therefore be impacting him.
Right.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, it goes to show you that they had laugh tracks on shows for a reason back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, man, I know. And you wonder if they had then played a laugh track real loud in the studio, would that have helped Stephen Colbert? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, clearly they need the energy, the reaction coming off of the crowd in order to put it through the camera and into my TV set. Hey, I got to finish this with Robbie. We got him back on. Hey, Robbie, are you still there?
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow I got cut off at the commercials.
That's okay. Robbie, we're anyway, about hold on, Robbie, because I have to go do my bright side, but I want to finish this conversation with you. So as the coronavirus, you say you're a nurse and you work with CDC. To your knowledge, is the coronavirus carried by a mosquito?
Never. Never, ever. No. The thing here is, epidemiologically, coronavirus will not. It's an unknown virus. It is not going to spread to mosquitoes at all. Mosquitoes it's called as a vector. So human to human, if you want to transmit with a blood or any kind of body fluids, you have to have a vector. So mosquitoes will not. No.
That's good to hear. Hey, listen, I'm going to let you go now. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for helping us out, Robbie.
No problem.
Okay, bye now. It's 11:49. Okay, we do this on Fridays. We ask you to call in and tell us some good news in your world, why you are smiling. Oh, you can do this, and right now you need to do this. You need to do it for you, and you need to do it for me, and you need to do it for the person in the other car, and the home, and the school, and the mom, and the dad. 312-981-7200. Call right now. We're going to do the bright side. I don't suppose anybody's texted in on this yet, right, Lauren Lapka?
I've gotten about two already.
Okay, here we go. We're shutting down the virus talk.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
They really can.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
We've been doing some of that lately.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle.
You can whistle.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
You know the words. Sing with me now.
And
come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
All our phone lines are ringing.
Always look on the light side of life.
Good job, Chicago. Thank you. We need you.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something.
Lauren Lapka, what are you reading on the Bright Side text line?
I have two great-grandchildren ones. We have 608 saying that they just became grandparents for the first time with their grandson born on March 11th. And then we have 847 saying their granddaughter took their first steps yesterday.
That is a fun thing. And if you're ever lucky enough to witness it, that is one of life's great milestones, the first step. How about that? All right, we start with Jane. You're on WGN. Give me some good news, Jane. Why are you smiling?
Oh, my
today?
Good news is to have WGN. You are my lifeline. You will carry me through this whole situation. And I thank you all for all that you do, and keep up the good work.
I'll take that. Thank you, Jane. Thanks, and you hang in there. We're all going to get through this. Paula, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Paula?
I'm smiling because a poem that I wrote has been accepted to be included in an anthology, a collection, that's going to be published up in Door County, Wisconsin.
You have to send the poem to me, Paula. I can't wait to see it, and we'll plug it when the book comes out, okay?
That would be great.
What's the title of the yeah. poem?
The title is Pilgrimage, and it is the challenge was for submissions. They wanted people to write poems about places in Door County that are hidden or that people don't know about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, what a great idea!
So this is written about a new stairway actually that they put in at the very top of Door County, where you can actually walk down to the water level, you know, down 30 feet off the bluff, and be down at the water level of Lake Michigan and Green Bay. And it is incredible. Incredible.
All right. I'm waiting for the poem. Thank you, Paula.
All right. Bye.
What are you reading, Lauren Lapkin?
A lot of great ones about spring. 630 said the sound of chirping birds woke me up this morning. And 773 says simply that the sun is shining.
Are we beating you to the punch there, Kim? You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. Yes, my bright side is also all the signs of spring. The plants are emerging, and we've seen a bunch of robins, and the sandhill cranes were flying overhead yesterday.
I'm getting a lot of texts about the sandhill cranes. Isn't that crazy? Thanks for the call, Kim. Is it Chanil, Shanil? You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
The fact that, you know, that I have family around. We're alive. I woke up this morning, and it's something to be happy about. I know there's a big pandemic, but, you know, the fact that, you know, we woke up this morning, nice day out, it's just a lot to be happy about.
That's why we do this, my friend. That's exactly it. Thanks for the call. Keep reading, Lauren Lapkin.
I knew I was going to get a lot about toilet paper, but I think Carl wins. Carl says that his bright side is Costco may have been sold out of toilet paper, but there was plenty of bourbon left on the shelf.
I told Brenda, pick up some Maker's Mark.
Exactly.
We'll be fine. John, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, John?
As a former Butler student, I am happy that the Bulldogs will not be giving me a heart attack during their run through March Madness this year.
That is so true. I mean, I love it. I hate it. I love it. I hate it. That's the glasses half full, John, because I was so sad I didn't get to see Butler play in the tournament, but now I don't have to go through the crisis that is every year, right?
They're already winners, and we just can tell ourselves that and not be disappointed either way.
Kamar sure went out on a good one, didn't he? Man.
He sure did.
Okay,
sure
thanks,
did.
Buddy. Appreciate the call. Always look on the bright side of life. Kim, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Kim? You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
My husband and I are going to be first-time grandparents at the end of June.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Thank you for the call. Congrats. I'm going to go from you to Bill. You're on WGN. Hey, Bill, you're on the air. Why are you smiling, sir?
John, in the name of socially distancing, I'm going to go up to Door County and spend the weekend ice fishing.
Sharon, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Sharon? Come on now, Sharon.
Now I'm smiling because of that last call. But my son works for a toilet paper and paper towel factory. And they're working 24/7, and they're making it for everyone, so we're going to be okay.
Lauren Lapka, what are you reading?
Also seeing a lot of great bright sides about the low prices of gas. And as a Southsider, I got to respect 224 saying their bright side is at least the Cubs won't lose in April.
Haven't lost a game. Hey, John, you're on WGN. What's the good news with John? Break a breaker, John. John says, I just took a picture with George Bush in California. Kind of random. Hey, that's good. Steve, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Steve? You're on the air.
Hiya, John. I'm a bread distributor for Pepperidge Farm. And as fast as we can put the bread on the shelves in the store, people are buying it up. I'm going to make a lot of money this weekend.
Monica, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Monica?
Hi, I'm very happy because I just got tickets to Lady Gaga for August.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a show. Hey, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you're having some bright sides. The news is coming up next. Jisuki, is that you down the hall?
It sure is, sir.
What are you going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to have one of your favorite experts, attorney Ray Kaplan, in studio. She's going to be talking about how coronavirus is impacting your college savings and then also your ability to pay your student loans and what you do about it.
Yeah, I mean, the tentacles of this thing are never ending. We'll keep you posted.